What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Saturday night. Yes, Saturday night. You heard me correctly. December 13th, 2025, and we are exactly less than 10 minutes removed from the last time is now. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com. I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like we do each and every week, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and man, is he going to shoot tonight. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir, thank you for coming out on a very, very late night after dark episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Sir, thank you. We're going to get into it. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off in just a minute. But before we do, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine, Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm wonderful. Rob, I would think that you, of all people, being the shoot bear, would appreciate the fact that nature takes its course.
No.
So what are we talking about tonight? What we're talking about tonight, John Cena's final match. That's right, we are exactly about 10 minutes removed from the final match of John Cena's career, Saturday night's main event, him versus Gunther. We decided not to talk about the whole show. We can kick that around in next week's episode, but we really want to talk first about this match. The match was fantastic. Like, the match really was good. It was an excellent story they were telling in the ring. There was a lot of good, heavy, hard-hitting stuff. I really liked where they were going with it. And then we got to the finish. And there's a saying in this business, they only ever remember the finish. And I think for now, ripping the Band-Aid off, let's talk about that. And I think, Rob, you're over there. The shoot bear is snorting. The shoot bear is pacing. The shoot bear needs to go. Rob, what do you got, buddy?
Just going to help yourself, John. had to listen to
Rob's disgusted. You should see his face right now.
Seriously. I mean, seriously. They booed you for a reason, honey.
Yeah.
We're always going to boo that.
No, they have not booed Hunter like this, okay? They booed
well,
him.
Well, yeah, hey, man, that decision was always going to get booed.
Well, it is. Okay, because there's
a difference. And to be fair, as much as I'm like, there's no reason this show shouldn't have been in Boston, by the way, and just making an extra show and getting the money grab in D.C. is now extra, like, just dumb. But aside from that, like, the crowd was going to boo. John Cena lost. Oh, well. Like, that is going to be yes, the audience is upset when Superman gets defeated.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, man.
There's a difference.
Let Rob say his piece.
I'm going to quote James E. Cornette here, okay? There's a difference between getting the heat on the heel and getting heat on the company. Tonight, they got heat on the company.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is.
They got heat on the book. Okay. You're not supposed to get heat on the Booker, unless you're doing a Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon kind of thing. They got heat on the Booker, and
but I mean, the only downside of that is if they take it out on Gunther, and they're not going to. I firmly believe the fans are not all of a sudden going to turn on Gunther or anything like that.
Well, he's already.
When you say like, "Oh, Hunter's getting booed." Hunter's not out there every week. Hunter's out there to say goodbye to John. That's it. So, okay, we ate the booze, John lost, and now the story moves as it should.
What story? I mean...
Well, just Gunther has a notch on his belt that you can't take away ever.
Okay.
Roman and Brock are the only two people to beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. That is just a thing that you I retired John Cena. You can retire tomorrow and be like, I might be one of the greatest ever.
Okay, so is
just in kayfabe, that is.
Okay, so he'll get booed real hard Monday. Okay.
Yeah, and he's a heel, so who cares?
And then after that, do you think that's gonna be any type of lasting, sustaining thing? I didn't.
No, and frankly, nobody talks about the fact that Roman is the two in the 20 whatever and two of the Undertaker. Only they talked about it for like a year, but it still goes into his legend, and it still gives him the chutzpah to like it gives the character that forward momentum for this next year. So.
I don't think he's winning the title back anytime soon. So it's not like he's going to ride this to anything. Brock ended the streak and then 6 months later, 4 months later, he won the title off of Cena and decimated. I don't think Gunther is riding this to that. Okay. He's riding this to just because those belts are locked in for a while.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see Gunther getting a world championship shot. Unless he moves to SmackDown, I don't see Gunther getting any major title shot until after WrestleMania because the stories are locked in for WrestleMania barring any injuries. You know, Seth Rollins getting injured kind of changed the trajectory of a few things, but I think most everything else from now until WrestleMania is etched at least in chalk on the board. And I don't think Gunther fits into any of that.
Because look, you saw the guys in the commercial for WrestleMania. Those are the guys that revolving around for WrestleMania. Okay.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in there. All right. So, I mean, he'll get booed hard Monday and great. And then where's it going? I mean, and so for me, yeah, you put heat on the company, for not satisfying the audience.
I mean, John losing was never going to be satisfactory to the audience. Superman losing is never, ever, ever, ever going to be satisfactory to the audience.
No, but sometimes
Superman losing is good for Lex Luthor and, you know, I can't think of any other Superman villains. Metallo and Brainiac and these guys. Like, I just kind of push back on the idea of because ultimately I see it both ways. John is one of those guys who, yes, could have and probably should have retired on top. Like, we all, you know, listen to the old pro thing of, like, go out on your back and, you know, give it forward and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, there are some guys who should probably go out on top, and John is one of them. However, if that was not going to be the option, whether it was Triple H's decision or John's or whoever's, if John said, like, I don't want to go out on top, like, we'll never know unless he tells us. But I look at it and go, okay, if the decision was John to lose, I ask you guys to find a better, aside from like losing to Randy one more time, stuff like that, I defy you guys to find a better loss than this.
Okay, well, you're a Star Wars guy. Yeah. Remember when Harrison Ford wanted George to kill him off before the ending of Return of the Jedi, because he figured when Han's got nothing else to do, he might as well kill him off. Remember that? Did George kill Harrison Ford? No, he didn't.
No.
Hey. Right.
No, exactly, and I'm not saying what's fact. Like, maybe John was like, yeah, I want to go out on my back, maybe John was like, yeah, I want to win, and they said, too bad. I have no idea. I'm just basing this on what I know of them, based on them in the public eye. So, we're all kind of throwing stuff against the wall here.
That shit was wet. I'm sorry.
I'm going to chime in here a little bit because I'm going to kind of play both sides. I'm going to play devil's advocate on both ends here. The best of the pros know that you go out on your back and you go over putting over the next guy. And I think John has always had enough respect for the business to know that when his time came, that he was going to be that guy. What I find interesting about this whole thing, and I find myself amongst this crowd, is how protective we are of John Cena. And it's interesting because one of the thoughts that I had, and I posted this on the app formerly known as Twitter, how often and Rob, you and I have been watching this a damn long time. We have sat through four different generations of not only WWE programming, but wrestling in general. You know, Rob and I were the early days of the NWA before it was ever WCW. And then, you know, the WWF golden years and, you know, the new generation, Attitude, Ruthless Aggression, on and on and so forth. Of all the legends that we've had the pleasure of watching in the cumulatively, between the three of us, damn near 100 years of watching this shit, have we watched the very first match? And when I say first televised, you know, when he came out, Ruthless Aggression, slap Kurt Angle, to the last match. We don't often get, and I'll even branch it out even further, wrestlers. How many wrestlers do we get to see end their career on their terms? Not many. You know, Hulk Hogan's career ended miserably, you know, due to his own personal life. Ric Flair, not much different. Randy Savage just kind of faded away and then ultimately, unfortunately, passed away. A lot of these guys just end up not being able to go anymore, and there's no big send-off. There's no big final match. And then some of the ones that do have the big final match, like a Ric Flair, like a Mick Foley, they come back 6 months later, and that big moment meant nothing. So it's almost surreal how protective we are of John Cena now. And I think some of that is because we watched his career in his entirety, you know, from day one to the fact that this guy was almost on the chopping block to then, you know, like literally overnight, he reinvented himself and went on to, in a very short order, become the biggest star in the industry and then go on to be probably one of the biggest ever in the industry.
Well, DJ, when you say like the guys who retire and then come back 6 months later, I think that's part of what is, you know, driving some of the emotion of this, is because when John has repeatedly said, you know, over this whole thing, like, when I am done, I am done. I am coming back as an ambassador, but this is my last wrestling match. And like, I believe him. He's not going to show up at WrestleMania 50. in the jorts and in the hat and AA somebody. He's not. Like, yeah. We just watched the last professional wrestling, like, ever of John Cena. And that's what's part of, like, yeah, there is a, because he has been so genuine over his entire career, we believe him when he says this kind of stuff, and we should.
Right. Yeah, I'm on the phone because in a bubble, I look at the finish and I was like, that was it. Like, that was my first thought. He like gave this weak little tap and it was almost like I had to convince myself that he just tapped out. It was that weak. Like, the whole finish was just that weak where he just kind of lightly.
I thought it was so poetic because it was just a quick resigned, like, yep. I'm not getting out of this. You have this chokehold locked in perfectly, and
I've given all I have.
Okay. That's exactly how I read it. Like, I thought it was beautiful. That I'm glad he didn't do the like, oh my god, I'm tapping out. Oh my god, it was just like, yep, you got me. Tap, tap, tap.
I guess where I look at it is. And maybe this is what they were going for. The guy who never gives up actually gave up. In the end, he gave up. And maybe Rob is beside himself right now. Like, Rob is actively laughing at me.
Isn't that the antithesis of the thing? Like, I understand where Rob's, like, getting crazy because, yes, it does seem insane. Like, yes, yeah, Superman gave up at the end. Isn't that a cool story? Fuck no. Like, what are you talking about? Like, but in our sicko sort of way, the way we look at professional wrestling, I go, yeah, it's actually kind of beautiful. And the way it happened was beautiful, and the way he executed the tap out was beautiful, and everything was beautiful. So maybe we're just the sickos, DJ.
Okay. Well, let me frame this because we're all comic book fans here, and we love our superheroes. We love them. We love our superheroes. We love the superhero ending. We just that's our thing, and I think that's where Rob's looking at this. John Cena is the ultimate wrestling superhero, and this is how it ended, with a simple tap out after damn near 7 minutes in a sleeper that he fought to the death to get out of. It's just not the way. Right. I think as time goes on, I'll palate it a bit better, but in the moment I was with Rob, and now I'm like, as I've sat here for maybe 15, 20 minutes and I've digested a little more. It's not as egregious to me as it was at 10:08 Eastern Standard Time.
I loved it. I'm sorry, I loved it. Rob, go.
Rob, go ahead. Let's give Rob the floor here.
Okay.
Jason, let him have it.
The one time Superman got killed and like didn't come back with what, All-Star Superman?
He saved the planet like 12 times over.
But he flew into the sun to save the world. And even though he didn't make it back, he saved the world. Okay. This would be like,
I hated that story.
This would be like we flew into the sun and the damn thing went out anyway. Okay.
I like
W.A.'s whack.
Okay. I loved All-Star, so you're preaching the wrong choir here.
But he died saving the world.
Yeah.
Saving the world.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, this is like if he died and then the world went under anyway.
It's like if Doomsday killed him.
And then that was just the end of it. I mean,
yeah, but never, he came back from that, Jason.
It was the end of it, Rob. As someone who lived it for months and months and months at a time, it was the end of it for a while.
But he didn't come back.
You knew Superman was going to come back. We know John's not.
I didn't. I was 12. Leave me alone. There were doubts.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm sorry.
All right, well, let me ask you guys this.
Stinks.
Let me ask you guys this. Let's frame it like this. John Cena has to lose his final match. If Gunther wasn't the right person to do it, okay, we'll start with Jason. Jason, Gunther's off the table as John Cena's final opponent, and he has to win. Not John Cena, the opponent. The opponent's going over. Cena's losing. In the field of people who were in that tournament, or not, who puts John Cena in the dirt in his last match?
Okay,
for you. You're the one.
Now looking at, and honestly using this person's like trajectory and popularity and whatever they're putting together, even as of last week, I would tell you Carmelo Hayes. The Boston connection and whatnot, but other than that, I don't know. I say Brock or Brandy or, you know, just one of them. Like, I can't – Gunther was the perfect answer. Sorry.
Yeah. And I'm going to agree there. And early on, I said Carmelo Hayes. But looking at it, I love John. I don't think John has the gas in the tank to keep up with a guy like Carmelo Hayes and make Carmelo look good. You think about the style of match Carmelo
has. 20 minutes.
The stuff that Carmelo does in there, I just don't think the chemistry.
The main event on, you know, Saturday night's main event of John Cena's last match, 25 minutes of go, 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 go.
It's not happening. And that's why as much as I thought Carmelo was my early pick, in thinking about it logically, a slower paced ground and pound from Gunther is John Cena's final match. But again, we're wiping Gunther off the table. Rob, your turn. Who do you think?
I mean, depends on who can do something with it. That's ultimately what this comes down to. If you're gonna beat if he's gonna lose his
way, Melo or Braun.
It's who can do the most with it.
Yeah.
And that's
the answer is Melo or Braun.
The answer is Braun. I think because
Braun.
Melo's great. Mel's great.
Like, Mel's my boy, like from way back. You know, Christian Casanova. Love you, buddy. Chaotic Wrestling. But Braun is the answer.
Yeah, and so that's
Adam Steamroll, Cena, and boom.
It should be whoever can do the most with it. That's why Brock was right for the streak, to end the streak, because look what he did with it. And so, like, Gunther ain't going nowhere, man. You know, Gunther's already gone as high as he's going to go. I mean, he's going to stay there for a while.
He's a world champion.
Right. And
like, he's gone as high as he's going to go. What do you mean he's going to go? He's going to go higher than world champion?
Exactly. So, this wasn't exactly... I mean, he'll get booed out of the building.
Brock wasn't going to go higher than multi-time fucking world champion monster, and then he beat the Undertaker.
Brock had been 50-50 when he came back, as far as winning and losing.
Yeah, he
well, won. I don't get, but I mean, like, yeah, over his whole career, like, Brock Lesnar was already a made man.
Well, I dare say most of the people watching when he came back, a lot of them weren't even watching when he did his first run. That was 10 years. That would have been 10.
Yeah. Brock was just starting to make money for that company when he left the first time.
He left in 2004. And then
he was just starting to make money for them.
And he came back in 2012. And by that point, they had gone through, you know, Edge and Randy and Batista, all these other guys that had established themselves to the point where what Brock had done those first couple of years really didn't matter much.
They had to reinvent Brock Lesnar.
It almost felt like they squandered it, like, because, you know, he beat The Rock. And
hopefully they don't do that with Gunther.
What run is there for him to go on? There's no run for him to go on now. Brock had
unless he just goes on a quest where he destroys everybody.
Who's waiting for the world championship right now? What? So Drew?
Roman's winning the Rumble and he's going after that. We know that. You can write that in stone. Okay.
I don't think so.
That's all.
You think Roman's winning the Rumble?
Bet the house. Roman's winning the Rumble. Bet the house.
Okay.
Roman and Bianca winning the Rumble. Bet the house.
Bianca, yeah. I don't know about Roman. I'm not convinced of that.
Yes, he is. It was all lined up. Maybe they changed it because Seth got injured, but they were all.
I thought it was going to be straight up Roman and Seth for the world title and at WrestleMania.
Yes,
and now I have no idea.
Roman was going to win the Rumble, and now maybe they'll do something different because Seth is injured. But yeah. That road was pointing towards Roman and Seth for the world championship.
Yeah, it was. But
I mean, and that was everything because they kept them. They had just enough distance between them. They were just close enough, but just far enough apart.
And they kept it going. And you could just tell.
So maybe.
And obviously the story over the last couple of years and the last couple of WrestleManias is pointing that way. But, it's like these guys need to end their. We need to just fucking end this. And Seth Rollins, please, someone put his head on a pike.
But, Thank you. I mean, unless they're going to have Gunther beat Cody. But.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let's do it. I'm in.
I guess the only problem.
At this point, I would rather Drew beat Cody for the time being. Because we can't have Drew Bobo himself to Cody
again.
Again.
Yeah, they can't do this. They Boboed him again tonight. Now, I love it because Oba got hands on him, and we're not going to talk about that right now, but in the bigger picture of things, we can't do that to Drew again. I don't want to see that. So if Drew and Cody one more time, I hope Drew beats him.
But Oba's a rock star, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to talk about that when we have a bit more time on next week's episode because I want to spend
some time. Next week's episode,
we're going to be talking heavily Obafemi. But tonight's about John Cena. I want to move on from the finish of the match because the finish was what it was, and it's now history, and not we can do about it. They're not going to go back. They're not going to run it back. They're not going to throw it back. It's not going to be a Mass Effect 3 type of thing where they go back and change the finish for us because we bitched about it. Let's talk about it.
They just added to it, okay?
They added to it because people bitched about it.
They fleshed it out. So you want to flesh out John Cena? You want to hear him cry? Like, yeah, that'll be the director's cut.
Yeah. No, thank you. let's talk about the year that was, the John Cena's final year. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. The heel turn stunk, but there were moments of brilliance during that. Like, he really tried to lean all the way into it, but there was no way in the last 5 months of this guy's career anybody was going to stomach a heel turn. The fans, I
think. He did the best he could have, and him making kids cry was awesome. I'm sorry if that offends, but it was awesome.
But Rob has, like, nothing. He's just, like, disgusted with the finish.
Okay, look. All right. Now, I'll say this. I was fine with the heel turn. I thought, it had a few very bad and kind of bizarre moments. But I thought the stuff that was done right was done really well. And I had no problem with him just flipping back before SummerSlam. I had no problem with that, because... it was fine for me. But for me, it's just this whole year, again, there were a lot of very good things, I thought. But the bad stuff was putrid.
High highs and some real low lows.
Like the WrestleMania ending and the weird stuff with R-Truth and
Dwayne.
The Brock thing at WrestlePalooza. And now this for me. I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff on Twitter now, and some people are saying that, well, the crowd shouldn't be upset. This is how it goes. No. Okay, listen. Sometimes.
No, Superman lost.
Well, no, sometimes. Sometimes you have to feed the audience. Okay, you can't always. Well, there are times where the audience is dead set on a certain result or at least a certain finish. And if you don't, I mean, and I don't care, even if it makes logical sense. Sometimes it's got to go a certain way or you're going to lose people.
Well, let's equate it to something, because you talk about losing people. Let's equate it back to the Roman Reigns. Forget that. You guys remind me of the event, because Jason was there. He just got engaged. It was WrestleMania 34, the Crimson Mask, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar. That crowd going into that show.
It's all coming back to me. It's all coming back.
I've just engaged childhood trauma for Jason.
I don't want to go back.
That crowd was convinced Roman was leaving with the championship, and Vince pulled the swerve on him, and they lost like a noticeable dip in viewership after that particular event. And you got to wonder if the same type of thing might not happen here, because this is a big deal. The crowd was letting Triple H, and I know we're circling back around to the finish, but we kind of have to. The crowd was all over Triple H, and that's a whole crowd of people. We usually talk about the internet stuff being in a bubble. This is an outside the bubble thing. This was not 10 or 12, 100, 1,000 people of 19,000. This was the greater than the rest of them, some of people booing Triple H out of the building. And I'm saying booing them out of the building because they were a lot hotter than that. I'm being generous.
Look, better time.
Yeah, and they're booing Zack Snyder midway through killing Superman. Like, sorry.
I got it.
But Jason, you know, Jason, for a lot of people with that movie, look, I thought the movie was very good, but for a lot of people.
Yeah, I did too. So what you're about to say is not going to land on me.
For a lot of people, that killed the territory. That killed the territory.
Cowards.
For the Snyderverse.
Yeah, so.
Cowards.
I'm not
one of those Snyderverse truthers either, but okay, I had a good time.
No, but it legit.
But anyway, yes, I get what you're saying. It did.
And at the end of the day, if the people who are spending money stop spending money, you can call them stupid or naive, or you can tell them, you can say they don't get it. But if they stop spending, they stop spending it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the joke's on you. Okay.
I mean, yeah. I just don't think this is one thing that's going to make people stop spending money.
I'm not saying they're going to
we have not seen 1 week of what Gunther's going to try to do with this.
I think
the jury is a little out until we see like 6 months into that. If he's just the same dude and blah 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 or whatever, then okay, fine. You can call me names and say it was wasted, and I'll probably agree with you. But if by WrestleMania he's a world champion, well, I don't know.
Well, okay. I don't think there's any more to add. I don't think he's going to get much out of this, because there isn't anything else for him to get.
Brock was already a world champion, like when he beat The Undertaker, and then he went on that streak, because in kayfabe it was like, holy shit, I just killed God.
Yeah. Yes, well, but again.
And so Gunther could do the same goddamn thing.
But let's be fair here. And this Gunther is a criticism that I made to you guys in the group chat earlier today or late last night. One of the glaring things in Triple H's booking, and he sees the guy who seems to love long-term storytelling. But there have been several points in time along the way, particularly with John Cena's retirement tour, where big, huge, huge things happened and there was zero payoff. Like zero payoff. There was a huge thing with The Rock. Zero payoff.
Well, I don't think we can lay that 100% at the feet of Triple H.
No, but if he's head of creative,
all of a sudden The Rock was just like, I can't play ball. Sorry, I can't come play anymore. Well, fuck, dude. Like,
well, then you can't tell the story without you. You don't do it to begin with.
Well, you do know that. Like, I'm just saying, at WrestleMania 40, whatever, when the heel turn happened, The Rock was like, yeah, no problem, buddy. And then 3 months later, he's like, oh, by the way, I have commitments and I can't be here for this whole fucking story.
I don't know.
Like, I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of, a billion moving parts when it comes to a story involving The Rock. So I don't think we can 100% put that on, oh, Triple H just gacked it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything else I'll give you guys, like, yeah, the handling of the return from heel, even if it was Rock's fault, just like he just said, oh, I'm a good guy again, whatever, and sure, we can hand wave it because it's John Cena. But at the same time, would a better story have been more gratifying? Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the Triple H is blameless, but for that particular part of the heel run, I think Triple H was literally just playing the hands he was dealt.
Well, because, I mean, well, they've all admitted that, well, like, Cena and Rock have both admitted that basically that thing, Elimination Chamber, was like a last minute just
swerve.
Too big. It wasn't that.
Yeah,
wasn't
they wanted a viral moment. But and again, that goes back to part of the discussion we were having is booking for the viral moments eventually is going to catch up with them. Like you do these viral moments with no real idea what the payoff is going to be because you don't even know if you can do a payoff. Eventually, people are going to get tired of that shit.
Right, and the idea of the viral moment is the viral moment pulls in fans who don't watch. Like, it crosses their timeline because it goes viral. And they don't watch wrestling, but it crosses their timeline anyway. And it gets them intrigued. And they go in. And you're telling me the story that pulled them in, you have no idea how it's going to fucking pay off?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a bad idea, man.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I just look. Ultimately, look, we'll see where this ultimately leads. Look, I'm not going to turn into one of those YouTube guys saying WWE is about to close.
No, not at all.
No, this is not closing the doors.
Those guys are out there, okay, and so I'm not turning into that. But
they'll do just fine painting by numbers, like. For years, guys. They will. Sorry.
And I think just... And I guess I'm scrolling my time. I keep, you know, some of them, you know, I keep seeing people saying, why are these people upset? You know, that's how this stuff goes. Don't you people get it? I mean...
I am purposely staying off the timeline.
I am kind of one of those people right now. So.
I mean, okay, look, I mean, I remember when they did the bullshit, you know, blood stop for Lex Luger. And and the whole crowd will chant bullshit, bullshit afterwards.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because they were mad at those dastardly four horsemen, okay?
They were mad at the booker.
Yeah. And to me, but that did not kill W. You know, that did not kill Crockett Promotions or whatever. It did not, in fact. But it was one of those moments where it was just people were just like, man, you know, like what is this shit? And if people are mad, like, okay, if they're mad in a way that will bring them back Monday, that's good. But if they're sitting there saying, man, what was this shit? That's not good. And to me, this was more one of those kind of things. This was more one of those, what is this shit?
I wasn't quite that hard on it. I was more like, my initial thought in the seconds after was, that was it. Like, I wasn't mad. I was almost confused. Like literally my first thought was, okay, that was it. Like we had this great build up to, okay, he's, and maybe I'm just missing the nuance of it. I don't know, but I was like deflated when he just tapped. And I was like, cause they built up this incredible And then that last moment where he grabs him and cinches it in one more time, and John's got this look of terror. I'm like, okay, where are we going? And then it was just over. And I think some of it is chalked up to I had a vision in my head as to how I thought it would go. And again, I'm the person who preaches this all the time towards the people who complain because it ended in a way that they didn't think. And I think that's unfair to any company. I found myself doing that tonight. So,
well, the thing is, I watched it almost the exact same way you described it. And that's why I thought it was so awesome, because John did try to get out every single way and every single, like, nope, not quite, nope, I can get out, nope. And then Gunther cinches it in just perfect. John realizes it immediately because he's a good professional wrestler and he feels the oxygen leaving his brain probably. And he goes, oh, this is it. And he gives that quiet tap and that's it. And I thought that was so beautiful.
Or if he had passed out.
No.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
The never give up
Superman
guy.
Superman gets choked out.
That's better than, fuck it, you got me.
Where's Superman my gets got. I don't know. I just think it's different.
Right now, there are a bazillion wrestling podcasts doing exactly what we're doing, and they're probably, I hope that all, if whether they have two hosts, four hosts, 10 hosts, I hope they're all arguing the way we are, because that's, at the end of the day, that's what wrestling is. It's moments, and it's debating these things, and it's having these discussions. We liked it. We didn't like it. Jason thought it was beautiful. Rob thought it absolutely stunk out loud. I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I'm still processing. It may take me a couple days to process how I truly feel about this finish. I may come back in 48 hours and say, you know what? It was fucking awesome. I may come back on Monday and you know what? I hated it. So I don't know yet, because I am trying to be open-minded to it. Obviously,
I do have to mention that's also where I am, because if John had suddenly just gone from the sleeper hold to getting, you know, Gunther into the fireman's carry, AA roll up, AA put him on the thing, or put him on the turnbuckle, avalanche, AA 1, 2, 3, John wins, I also would have been like, okay, yeah, that's how Superman goes out. Yeah. So it was just,
and I think they
executed the loss perfectly.
I don't
think they were going to do the loss.
I don't think it would have hurt Gunther to be the last guy John Cena pinned in his WWE career. I don't think it would have hurt. Gunther is just a machine. The guy is incredible in the ring. He's a nonstop, all go, no quit talent. And losing to John Cena in John Cena's final match is nothing to sneeze at. I think this was very much a case of John respects the business. John respects the history of the business and the people in Rob's timeline aren't wrong. But looking at it from Rob's perspective, this is one of those ones where you could have done the other thing because of who it is. And they just didn't. So we'll see. Like I said, it's going to be about how they stick the landing with Gunther, where this goes from here. If he goes on a holy terror and just destroys every single person he gets in the ring with, then we're working with something. And then by WrestleMania, once we clear that hurdle, he's either staring at Cody or he's staring at whoever, whether it's Roman or whoever's holding the Raw Championship. Then we're having a discussion. But right now, being that we are now an hour removed from this, as Jason pointed out, it is too early to tell where and how Gunther benefits from this.
Well, all right. So,
as we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 1-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold.
today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Here's the thing. All right. Let's say, because I'm still convinced Roman is winning the Rumble and going after the World Championship on Raw.
Okay.
Let's say if Gunther wins the Elimination Chamber and he goes over and he beats Cody. Okay. Now, he can't just, Gunther's great. I have no doubt that he would have a great run with the title. But you can't just have a great run with the title where you put on great performances. You gotta have a money drawing run. Okay. And there's a difference between Gunther and Brock. Okay. Brock is a different energy. Brock is, because Gunther is, stoic and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Brock is an anomaly because he is a very uncharismatic guy who somehow or another has a ton of aura. Because, and maybe it's his size, it's his presentation.
Yeah.
But for such an introvert, he has this just tremendous aura, whereas Gunther's like the other way around. Gunther, believe it or not, has some personality and some outward going charisma, but he's a bit less, there's less aura around him. It's the weirdest thing.
But like Brock is like, you can make another Star Wars analogy. Brock is like running the Darth Vader scene from Rogue One on repeat.
Yeah.
With the blade comes on, and those guys are all scared and shitless, and they're doing the best they can. And he just comes through there, and he throws their guns in the air, and he throws the people up in the air, and they're trying, and he just starts cutting everybody down. And then at the end, the ship takes off, and he's looking at the ship fly away, and he's staring out the damn window in the space while the ship flies away, and he's pissed off. Right? I mean,
that's
how Black is, okay? Yeah. And where somebody said, Vader, Lord Vader, you might want to come inside, he probably told him to go, F themselves, okay?
Right.
And that's, I mean, and, cause when Brock Lesnar hit, like, okay, when Gunther comes out there, you figure, okay, somebody's about to lose. When Brock Lesnar hits, it's like, somebody's about to die.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I mean by the difference between the two auras. There's a different feeling.
Yeah, like
also Brock has the.
And so I don't know that you could. I don't know that you could just get that kind of run out of Gunther that they got out of Brock because of that different kind of energy that they have.
Yeah. Let's kind of shift gears here a little bit. I want to kind of say a goodbye and a thank you to John Cena because I think we're starting to kind of talk in circles here as far as how we feel about the rest of it. I'll start off by saying, and I've talked about this on this show before, I was not early on a Cena fan. I saw potential in the guy in the early, early years before he started doing the Doctor of Thuganomics. When John Cena started to make his big run is when I got out of WWE. And I got out for a variety of reasons. One, I became a dad and my life priorities shifted and, you know, a bunch of things happened. I cut cable off and streaming wasn't a thing. So, you know, I didn't have access to WWE like I did. And John Cena just wasn't keeping me around. Edge wasn't keeping me around. Those guys of that era weren't keeping me around. Stone Cold was gone. Rock was gone. Undertaker was wrapping it up. There just wasn't enough to keep me invested in. John Cena certainly was not it. So I missed a tremendous chunk of his career. A chunk that I'm looking forward to going back and watching because as I understand it now, there was some pretty good shit that happened during that whole time. I didn't fully catch on to how good John Cena was until after him and The Rock. The two times that him and The Rock wrestled, I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's a legit thing. And from there, I finally put the pieces together and got it. So I'm very embarrassed as a wrestling fan and as a reformed John Cena fan to say that I was late to the party. Hilariously late to the party. I feel like the second half of his career was incredible. We had the U.S. Open Challenge. We had a lot of good stuff. He made a lot of people, put over Sami Zayn, made Kevin Owens, legitimized Kevin Owens. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm still just, again, amazed that we got to watch the whole thing. We never get that. You know, Hogan was already an established star by the time I started watching Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair, again, established star. Dusty Rhodes, established star. I didn't catch the early years of their careers, but I got to see the ends, you know, such as they were. And John's the one where I got to see beginning to end, minus the meat in the middle that I missed. So that's fascinating to me. It's also sobering to know that I've gotten that old, that I have literally watched almost the entirety of a guy's 23-year career. But to this, I would say, John Cena, thank you for some incredible memories, some incredible times watching WWE, for all the work that you put into that, for making me feel. You know, you brought me back. You and Rocky brought me back. Back in, what was it, 2011, 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, John, you were one of the ones who brought me back. And, you know, the stuff that WWE had going on was enough to keep me. And as we have talked about on this show so many times, that's why they do this stuff. To get people like me and Rob back, it's up to the current crop of talent to keep us. And again, something we're going to talk about on next week's episode. This week's episode of Saturday Night Main Event, if I'm me coming, like going back to 2011, 2012, I'm coming back in. I haven't watched in 6 years, but damn it, I'm going to sit down and watch John Cena's final match because that's what you do and see if I can dip my toes back into this WWE thing. I'm telling you right now, the other new talent that they had on this show tonight would fucking keep me there. Between Obafemi, between Javon Evans, between Leon Slater, between Saul Ruka, and everything else, this crop of talent that they've got coming in, I would stick around and keep watching just to see what those guys and girls are going to do next. So for everything that we can say about the finish to the John Cena match, and again, we're discussion for next week's episode, kudos all around for the presentation of the up-and-coming talent here tonight. And if John had – we're playing along. If John had his pick of who he wanted on that show, good picks all around. Good picks, good business. John Cena, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a show. Like, it was a hell of a showcase for a lot of people. You know, in the – matches were awesome. So all in all, the show itself was great. We can argue about the finish till the cows come home, but the Cena finish anyway. But yeah, and as far as John goes, I mean, he was already the guy when I got back in 2015. I already knew him as like the guy who was starting to do movies. So and he's been that consistent guy ever since. So I mean, there's not much bad things I can say about John Cena right now. So hell of a career, and I love the finish.
All right. Rob, you got any parting thoughts here before we get out of here? It is a late one for us.
So, like you, I was late to the party. I missed basically the whole half of his run. And it's funny because, you know, I think I said before, I never thought I would ever get as attached to a group of wrestlers as I had been, you know, when I was younger. But I have done that, and he's one of those, you know, and he's one of the ones that, you know, he's one of them. Because, you know, I guess to me, like, you know, he just think he did it the right way is kind of corny, but, you know, he did. And to me, it was a good throwback to the days of people like Bruno and Hulk Hogan and what have you. Because you need those guys in wrestling. You need those guys. Okay. When you're 25 or 35 years old, you might think it's corny, whatever, but you need those kind of guys. And it's what Cody's doing now, right? And yes, you need that in the wrestling business. Okay. And look, their kids are going to, in a few years, you know, there's probably some kids that feel the same way about Cody that a lot of people felt about John. Okay. And so to me, I just, you know, I grew to admire just the dedication, not just to the wrestling part of it, but to all the other stuff too. And I don't think I've seen anybody have that much dedication to the quote unquote off the field stuff. You know, I mean, the guy went over to visit the kid who had escaped from, Ukraine or somewhere. He went over to visit the kid in full gimmick. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that? You know, so stuff like that. And the fact, you know, I mean.
The wish is bad. Just the wish.
And then
the all-time record holder.
Yeah.
660, I think they said tonight.
Yeah, and then so that he
And is, that's honestly, I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's just official. Like, how many kids is he like?
Yeah, that's not
taking care. That is like official make a wish, like, hey, this is what you're doing today, you're meeting Timmy and blah blah blah. Like, imagine how many kids he just met off the cuff or like through a friend or through this person or whatever. Like, that guy is a machine.
Yeah. And,
of kindness. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, so, and all, I mean, and look, when it came to the in-ring stuff, right? I mean, he delivered every time. Right. Every time I watched him in a match, you know, whether the match was, even the matches that turned out maybe did not be so good, right? He delivered. And I've seen him, like, there was one time, it was the holiday tour, and this was in 2018, right? And it was when Daniel Bryan had just won the title from AJ and it turned heel. And one of the matches was, they were supposed to have a rematch on that card. And AJ was sick. And that dude came into Baltimore in the middle of December just to fill in and take an L on a house show.
That's crazy dedication, man.
Okay. Yeah.
What a workhorse.
Like he could have said, Look, they could have just had, I don't know, whoever was, someone else who was on SmackDown at the time, they could have just had.
They could have thrown the Miz out there.
Or just, or whoever, right? I mean, but, you know, he came in, he flew in, I guess, or whatever, because he wasn't booked on the holiday tour that year, but he had done some matches on TV or whatever, so he was in shape and ready to go. But, you know, and just smack dab in the middle of the card. He comes out there and he does a match with Daniel Bryan. He put Daniel Bryan over. And, you know, they went on there, had like a pay-per-view quality kind of match, you know, in the middle of December on a show he wasn't even booked for. You know, you know, I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? And so, yeah, saying, you know, thank you to him is, yeah, I mean, yeah, man, because it's, dang, he had a dedication that is above and beyond, and not in a way where he was being taken advantage of, you know, either, right? It wasn't like
no, he legitimately believed in the company.
Yeah, and he legitimately believed in doing the work and doing that type of thing. You know, I mean, just things where anybody would have a right to say, hey, man, I can't do that today. and he, you know, he just, so that is, I mean, to me, that's to be admired, even though, you know, I'm at an age now where I tell people, well, don't go overboard for the job. but, you know, and so, but he did it in such a way. He did it in such a way that, you know what? You know, yeah, sometimes when we say with some of the flippy matches, when we say, you know what, in this case, you know, in this case, we'll allow it. He showed that kind of dedication for the job in such a way where, you know, I would not say, hey, boys and girls, don't be like him, right? You know?
Yeah.
And so, cause normally now, you know, when somebody does that much for their job, I'm quick to say, you know, hey, don't be a sucker like that guy, okay? but he did it in such a way that, you know, I never saw it that way with him. And just thank you. And I mean, thanks for everything. You know, for me, it's, you know, for some people it was 20 years or 22 years. For me, it was 13. And thank you for the 13.
Yep. It was 13 good years. So, all right, Jason, you got anything last words before we get out of here? Jason, did you fall asleep? We may have lost Jason. I don't want to get out of here unless Jason's... Let me throw him a message up there. I have a feeling we lost him. Hang on here. Rob, if you got anything else, go ahead. I don't want to have to...
Okay.
we're lingering here now because we're waiting on Jason. This is like horrible.
Well, if he does not make it back.
If he does, wait, there he is.
Okay.
Well, Jason, wait. No, we did. We lost him. What happened here?
What are you talking about? I'm right here.
Oh, well,
Jason,
like...
we couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Well,
all right. I am. Hey, you got any last words before we get out of here?
No, thank you, John. It was amazing. It was an awesome show, first of all. And then it was, you know, I'm in the minority, I guess, and well, DJ split, but, and I get both sides, but ultimately I enjoy
it. You're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
All right. All right. Well, we want to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast as we eulogize the final match of John Cena's career. We're going to call it a night. Remember, I'm going to go around the room here and thank my cast. Dude, I'm tired. It's almost midnight. I am never up this late intentionally, but we couldn't get our crap together this week for recording. I couldn't go on Thursday, and then Friday was just a wash for everybody, and I was like, I had this idea. I'm like, hey, since it's going to be hot and fresh, why don't we record right after Saturday night's main event? Now I'm dragging ass. My voice is gone. I'm ready to go to sleep. I think Jason almost fell asleep. We're going to call it a night here. We're going to get out of here so I can get this sent over to my boss, who's probably ready to kill me because we're now 24 hours late on our episode. Going to go around the room and thank this cast of characters like I always do each and every week. Jason, sir, thank you for some late night energy. Thanks for bringing it.
We had a great time, gentlemen. And you know what? I'm just glad that we all have the – We're going to carry the spirit of hustle, loyalty, and respect in the Mindless Wrestling podcast. So,
absolutely. We are never going to give up. From the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir, thank you for a late night.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm ready. I feel you, Rob. I'm ready to go to bed. We're going to get out of here. Again, I'm DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.